to an adventure in Putnam on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures of Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and I'm here with our next guest who has some amazing new music. So I'd like to welcome to the show Lizzie Edwards from Lizzie and the Makers.
Hello, thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Hey, my pleasure. And so tell us a little bit about you as an artist. I like to start there, but more where the artist kind of gives a visual of who they are opposed to just boxing themselves in a genre.
Well, I do find that it is hard to just nail down one genre when it comes to my music. I have influences that are traditional, such as Billie Holiday or, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd. But I also really love Kate Bush and David Bowie, more ambient things like Portishead. So I feel like you can hear a little bit of all of those in my music, in addition to a lot of me. So I would say, you know, blues, soul, rock, and a little bit of everything else.
See, and that's why I like to ask that question, because nowadays, especially more than ever, it's like artists are so boxed into some micro genre. It's not even the genre. Like, there's not like rock anymore. It's like you have to be rock with five other adjectives to it.
Right. I definitely agree with that. Yes.
And really, it should be a bunch of influences. I think that's something, too, that when we mature a little bit, like I remember when I was a teenager, I was into one type of genre, and that was it. But I secretly did like other stuff, but you just weren't allowed to admit it. And then you get older and you realize that's just stupid. Like,
yeah.
To be blunt, like your influences should come from all different places. And we do travel on this musical journey. Like, when we get to learn the music that we like, it's not like we only heard one thing and that's it in our life.
I agree. And I mean, I can even add to that. I grew up playing classical piano. And so I would even say there's a lot of Chopin and Rachmaninoff in my influences. So yeah, you really can't just stop at one genre or one time period of music, I think, especially today, like you said.
And let's face it, all music is influenced by other genres. Like, you know, I think the only music that was not influenced by another genre was the first music there ever was. Other than that,
yes.
You have to be, you know, like yeah. You can't help it. It has to be. It evolves. Even the music of today is an evolution of music 50 years ago.
Yes, I agree. I do think sometimes artists will get a hard time for being quote unquote derivative, but in a certain way, it all derives from somewhere, from the beginning. It's like you said, it's not like you just wake up one day and invent a new genre that has been untouched by anything else that's out there. So,
and you know,
I'm with you.
I was talking about this with another artist too, where they came out and just said point blank, like, there is no music artist out there that does not have some influences in their music. Like it, you can't help it. If you listen to music, there's going to be influence. You don't do it on purpose. It's like, it's not like you set out to say, hey, I'm going to go sound like, you know, Kate Bush, or I'm going to go sound like Janis Joplin. Sometimes it's just subconscious and it's just part of what created your musical talent and taste.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that. And it is something that we are aware of. Greg, my guitarist, and I, as co-writers, we actually just wrote a new song recently. And when we were finished writing it, we thought, God, this sounds a lot like a Chris Cornell song. And we actually spent an hour listening to almost every Chris Cornell song we could just to make sure that we weren't somehow subconsciously recreating something that was already out there. And we couldn't find it. So that was good. But yeah, I think I think it's hard to, you'd be hard pressed to find an artist that doesn't have shades of influences from previous performers in their music. And that's part of what makes it great. And like you said, what makes it evolve.
Exactly. And I look at it this way, from a listening standpoint, if I say like, okay, this artist sounds exactly like this one. Yes. Then that, you know, you're consciously doing that. But you know, to me, there's a lot of artists I've listened to that they're like, there's this familiarity and you can't place it, but that familiarity is whatever influence it came from.
Yes. And that familiarity and accessibility is what draws people to artists. You know, they like to hear things that they have heard somewhere before in some way. You want something new and innovative, but at the same time, the familiarity is what usually pulls people in, I think.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And there's several reasons for that. Number one, nostalgia. Number two, comfort. Number three, you know, it's like it's just part of them anyway, you know. So
right.
All those things, like, yes, the familiarity is good. It's the part, and the part that I think is even better is when somebody really just can't place that familiarity. And sometimes it's like, I've had interviews where I listened to the music of the band and I was like, man, I've heard that somewhere. And then they brought it up in the interview. I'm like, oh, man, you know, like they brought up their influences and what, you know, and they actually said something, you know. And I was like, oh, that's where it came from. It just happened the other day, actually. One artist was saying something about some band. I'm like, and they were referencing that they, you know, get people saying they sound like this. I'm like, that was it. That was that.
Yeah.
I couldn't place it, but that was it. You just placed it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I personally get a lot of different, I guess, people trying to place me somehow or compare me to someone else, but it's always a different person. So I feel like that's okay. You know, one day I'll get Janis Joplin, another day I'll get Annie Lennox, another day we'll get Black Crowes. So, you know, that is again the wonderful thing about music. It's so multifaceted, and even if it's just one Annie Lennox song that you heard once that influenced you, it's part of what creates the fabric of the music you're creating and what makes it new in some way. The old influences somehow combined make it something new.
No doubt. And I'm with you 1,000,000% in the respect of, if they are, every time somebody says something, they're comparing you to another artist, then you're doing your job, because, you know, they're not, it's not like 100 people are saying, oh, you sound just like so-and-so. Like, if they're saying all these different things, I would take that as the biggest compliment ever.
Yeah, I definitely do. And anyone can call me Annie Lennox anytime.
So tell us about your new music, it is definitely a little different than your previous music, because you're growing as an artist and like we were talking about, evolving. So let's talk about that a bit.
So this new album, I do think part of what has made our sound evolve is our collaboration on this album with Mario, Jay McNulty, and Reeves Gabrels. Reeves is a guitarist who's a member of The Cure, but also spent a majority of time in the 90s and before that playing with David Bowie. And David Bowie is an artist I always respected and loved his music, but I don't know that any part of him was in my music. And so working with these two producers who both work with David Bowie, I feel there's this added element of kind of outer space, unsettling and unexpected turns in each song that have really kind of taken us to the next level. Whereas our music in the past, maybe you could try to pigeonhole it a little more. It was maybe more rock and roll, or there were fewer surprises. But I think collaboration is really important in music. You can be a boy wonder like Beck and do everything on your own. But I do think that the more people you work with and the more perspectives you include just within your sound, but also hearing what they think of your sound and how they think they can augment it is really what creates something new. And I feel that on this album, we've really come into our own and are more ourselves than ever. And I definitely have Reeves and Mario to thank for that, but also our own creative process and willingness to try new things and step out of our comfort zone. So I'm very excited about this album, and I think people are going to like it a lot.
Nice. And the thing I definitely want to say when it comes to what you were just talking about is you need that objective outside point of view or perspective. Like it's kind of hard sometimes to evaluate your own music based on somebody else hearing it.
Yes. Our first couple of albums were self-produced, and I do feel like that is something we really wanted for this next album, is we felt like we were too inside the songs, and having someone else who didn't write them outside giving us their opinion or their reaction to it really helped us grow even more. And we were hesitant at first because you don't want anyone to tell you how to sound or maybe try to change your original sound too much. That's why I think this group was perfect for each other. We just wanted to enhance each other's existing perspectives and not necessarily override anything that was already there.
It's funny, as you were about to say enhance, that's the exact word I was thinking in my head. And to put things into perspective, it was kind of cool. The other day I had an interview and I was talking about, you know, back in the 80s, I hung out at the Sunset Strip and I used to be like backstage when these hair metal bands were being made into hair metal bands. Like they weren't hair metal bands till the record labels made them into it. And the artist gave me such a great perspective that goes right along with what you were saying, is like, it's not necessarily that, it's more of, you know, having these outside influences giving you ideas because they know what's going to work even for you and what not might not. And also, let's face it, when you create music, it's your baby. You know, you're not going to want to change any of it. I mean,
yes.
I wrote a song with my former head engineer here. He passed away, but he was a music artist, and me and him and his girlfriend, who they were a duo, we all wrote a song together several years ago, and I came to him with this song, and I'm an published author, so I came to him with this song that really wasn't a song, it was more of a book. And he was like, yeah, we need to cut this down. He's like, we need to take this out. And he's like, first he's asking me, what parts can we take out? And it's like, well, none of it. I think it's all important. You know, and it's like, right. Well, it can't all be important. So we're going to. And he actually helped me figure out what was the most important parts of it, that the rest of it really I thought was important, but was really just filler.
Yes. And I, as you said, I agree with you, right? Your music is your baby and you think it's born perfectly the way it is, but there's a lot of trust that is involved in, I think, helping your baby grow. And like you said, you think everything's important. You want every little last bit in there because you want people to have the full picture. But if you can trust someone else to help you maybe sharpen it even more and realize, like you said, oh, this is just filler. Maybe it's more important to me than it is to the actual story of the song or how people are going to receive it. If you can place that trust in someone, that's really a big step, I think. And we definitely did this on our first single too. I sing the melody in a way that I don't usually sing. I'm kind of more of a powerhouse vocalist, and both Mario and Reeves insisted. They said, you know, you should start out gently, give it somewhere to grow, have it build. And it was a really hard thing for me to do, to change what I feel like I've been doing for almost 10 years. But I trusted them. And I said, you know, this is why we're here working together, and you're hearing something I'm not. And so I'm going to go with it. And they were right in the end. But Reeves is always right. That's a joke we have in the band now. Whatever Reeves says, he's usually always right. So
nice. Yeah, it is, you know, it's kind of interesting, the whole process, because you do have to, like, you have your own point of view, but then you have to consider everybody else's point of view too. And when I say everybody else, that includes the listeners, the world as a whole. And, you know, it's funny, even in this industry, I go through the same thing. So people, you know, I own the radio stations here, and we have other shows that people have shows on our radio station. You know, they have to provide me with an album cover for their show and their podcast. And so many of them want to like put their whole story on the album cover. Like I've literally gotten album covers that you might as well have just wrote a book on the album cover. Okay. And I'm like, nobody's going to see that. Like they just only are going to look at the album cover and all you need is the hook and call to action. Everything else, nobody's going to read. It's not, you know, don't try to put it all in one little bowl. It doesn't fit in. And that's what people do. So
yes. When we do our artwork, actually, I have a friend who does it for us. His name is Charlie McGuire, and I try to give him as little direction as possible. I basically will send him the song or send him the album and then say, listen to it, see how you feel, what you see, and just go. And I think that is really the best way to go, as opposed to trying to force people to see it one way or like you said, trying to fit the entire story in one little bowl, because that's not going to be successful. And that's not what people want. They want a feeling, you know, what does this evoke? And again, having someone outside of the song to do that for you, I think is the most important thing.
I look at it this way, look at icons nowadays. Okay. So if you see the Facebook icon, that's all you need. You don't need the story. You know, the story already. That's all you need. Like you look at icons nowadays and you know the whole story from looking at the icon. And I think that's the brilliant part right there.
Yeah, less is more, right?
No doubt. Yeah, even in radio commercials, oh my God, I've had people send me like 5-minute scripts for the radio commercial. And then I'll have to do like 10 different times, tell them, no, it can only be this. And it's like, but they need to know this. They're not going to care. They're listening to a radio commercial. They're not going to be sitting there studying it. You know, it's that's what you get them to contact you, then tell them the story, you know. And I think that's the same with music. It's like, get them to be interested in the song and then they'll want to know the story. But if you don't catch them in the first 10 seconds, you're done.
Yes. Yep. I'm learning that slowly but surely.
Well, here's something I've talked about this before too, but you can appreciate it as a songwriter. So I remember way back when taking songwriting classes, and there was a definite formula that does not work today, you know, and it's like, because of people's attention span today, you have to cut things out and get right to the point. Like, you know, you go years back and you would have these long intros to a song, you know, before the song even started. And nowadays it's like, the listener might not even get to the beginning of the song.
Right. We've had to do a lot of editing in that way too, which is funny because in our mind, we're like, yeah, this long intro is so cool. But you're right. Attention span, Spotify, people listen to singles and playlists. They don't necessarily sit down with a record and listen to side A and side B. So you really do have to draw people in. And if that means you have to edit out some of the stuff you love, that's okay. It's still your song and it's still going to have that vibe. But yeah, you're right. Attention span has suffered in recent years.
Oh, man, it's terrible. I was talking to somebody that we were talking about, you know, the songwriting process, and they're like, yeah, you know, nowadays you have to cut out the third verse, cut out the intro, cut out the bridge, cut out the solo, and then you can maybe have a song.
Right. Exactly.
I'm like, what's left?
Yeah. A hook, right?
Exactly. So here's another thing. I think it's really cool, the story behind the name for your second album that's coming out here in the summer. Tell us the story.
The album is called Dear Onda Wall. So spelled D-E-A-R and then first and last name, Onda Wall. And when the story behind it is, I was actually at work. Musicians, it's hard to be a full-time musician. You sometimes have to supplement your income. So I was working as a bartender and it was a particularly slow shift and we weren't allowed to use our phones. So I was standing around not knowing what to do. And I decided, well, I guess I should just start writing something. And the place where I work is a barbecue restaurant that had this taxidermy deer head on the wall. So I basically just wrote a love letter to this deer as I'm standing there asking it questions, you know, what's the meaning of life? Why are we here? Please tell me. And so I wrote it and I sent it to my co-writer, Greg, and he has a very wicked sense of humor and will sometimes send demos back to me and change the name to be phonetically spelled. So he sent it back to me, and instead of it being deer like the animal on a wall, he had changed it to deer on the wall. And I just thought, you know what? That's perfect. And that's who this album is written for, this mystical woman in the universe who has the answers to all of our questions, and we are just begging her for some insight. And I actually told one of my friends the name of the album, and she said she immediately went to the internet and Googled the name On the Wall to see who it was and try to get the backstory. And I said, okay, well, I guess this was the right decision, because I want everyone to do that.
Well,
so, that's the story.
My big question is, what's her number? Because if she has all the answers, I need to talk to her.
I don't know yet. She hasn't written me back yet or called me back yet. So as soon as she does, I will let you know.
it is such a cool story, because before I actually saw the story, I saw the name of the album. I'm like, that's kind of weird. And then and then the story, I was like, that's really freaking cool.
Well, good. I'm glad you appreciate it.
Yeah, because, you know, if it was just regular deer on the wall, it wouldn't really stand out. But this one does. Like you said, you had somebody actually Google it. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah. We'll see how many times we can get people to Google On the Wall when the album comes out.
There you go. I love it. Maybe you should change your name like artists do. You know, like Prince changed to the symbol. You could be On the Wall.
Maybe for the next album. I'll think about it.
Right? So how does everybody get a hold of you, connect with you on social media, get your new music, check out the videos for the singles you've just released, and all that good stuff?
Well, we do have a YouTube channel with all our new videos. So it's just, under Lizzie and the Makers. Instagram is the same. It's Lizzie and the Makers spelled out. Twitter, TikTok, all Lizzie and the Makers. We have a website too, www.lizzieandthemakers.com, if that's more your speed. And yeah, I always joke at shows. Oh, we're on Spotify too. Our new single is on there. I always joke at shows when I'm promoting a song or trying to get people in touch with us, and I just say, just Google it. It'll show up. So that usually works. But yeah, it's Lizzie, L-I-Z-Z-I-E, and the Makers.
Yeah, and you have, I think it's pretty cool that you're releasing a new single every month leading up to the album summer release. And I think we should talk a little bit about Mermaid, too, because that's got another cool kind of story to it.
Mermaid, again, was kind of something that started out as one thing and ended up becoming something else. I was inspired by a friend of mine who is also a singer who one summer decided she just needed to be one with the ocean as much as possible. And she would get on the train from Brooklyn and go to Rockaway Beach every morning, no matter what, and just go and swim, and called herself a mermaid. And I just was really enamored by her, but also just this idea of her being a mermaid and embracing that spirituality of the sea and the beach. And so I started to write a slow blues song inspired by that. And I brought it to Greg, and he thought, you know, this is a little slow and it's beautiful, but why don't we pick it up a little bit, make it a little more like bouncy, like a Dap King song. And so with that evolution, I then realized, okay, well, now I think this song is about something else. And I had just been going through not a breakup, but kind of, I guess, a relationship misunderstanding where
I like
thought something
how you
was
put
going
that.
One way and it ended up making a complete 180 and going the other way. And I didn't really understand why, or was trying to figure out how, what happened to make it change course. And so I was sitting at my local bar and venue, Watering Hole, Pete's Candy Store. And I just started writing all these questions again, you know, kind of in the same spirit of deer on the wall, trying to figure out how do we get to the places where we are, and really observing while kind of being inside my own head and questioning things, also observing the things around me and trying to be present and grounded to try to move on from this misunderstanding. And so I just started writing about the taps I saw, the people sitting at the bar, the streets, the sights and sounds of being in Williamsburg at night. And it kind of all came out of me in one night. So it started out to be about a mermaid. And in the end, it wasn't at all. But since that was the original inspiration for the song, we kept the title. And I think that mermaid's spirit lives within the song still, even if it's not literally about a mermaid.
I dig it. I love the stories behind these, the song and the album and everything. You rock. Thank you for the great music. And thank you for being on The Adventures of Pipe Man.
Thank you for having me. It was an absolute pleasure. And I hope we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the new album dropping in the summer and maybe seeing you live someday when we get back to normal.
Oh, yes. Well, I'll make sure it happens.
There you go.
Thank you for listening to The Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.